Are listening to the Kevin Smith Show.
Comments and views expressed on the Kevin Smith Show are those of the people who make them and do not necessarily represent the views of Kevin Smith, the Kevin Smith Show, or any of its affiliates or advertisers. Hi, folks, and welcome to the Kevin Smith Show, whoever you are, wherever you are, all around this gorgeous place we call Earth. Thank you for being here at the Kevin Smith Show. Some of you are joining us for the very first time tonight. Welcome aboard. We're glad to have you. And I think you're going to enjoy it. The Kevin Smith Show is a radio show. It is a syndicated radio show. However, on the Internet, we do provide a sort of a webcam video feed, so you can sort of watch as it happens. And at my website, where you can view the video, you can also subscribe to the K-Files e-zine. Now, the K-Files e-zine is a free weekly newsletter. The K-Files e-zine is no strings attached. It comes out each week, and you can unsubscribe anytime you decide you want to unsubscribe, and truly no strings attached. If you have not subscribed, be sure you do so. Now, so far this week, we have had guests. Tonight will be our night without guests, and I try to do that at least once each week. It's not exactly open line. It's not, that's not exactly what this is. However, if you've got something really, really big you need to tell us about, we'll get off of our topic and talk about what's on your mind. But no politics. For those of you who are new, no politics. We on this show talk about things that really matter. And so, no politics, all right? Tonight, what I want to talk about, I want us to really focus on this. I'd like for us to focus on the anomalies that are presented by the silence, the anomalies that are presented by the cover-ups, the anomalies presented by the ever-obedient mass media. There are anomalies that we know about from space travel. There are phenomena that we know about from just living on this planet and seeing things in the sky. There are anomalies that we know about from photographs sent back by spacecraft, by satellites, and astronauts. And these things are kept quiet, or they are sort of ridiculously explained. And some of the most ridiculous explanations ever get applied to these anomalous things. And I want us to talk about the real anomaly. The real anomaly is the tremendous gap in truth by the reporters and journalists and media that are reporting on these things, and the apparent tremendous gap in truth, and certainly a big gap in the openness and transparency of NASA on some issues. On some things, they are absolutely wonderful. on some things, NASA is just phenomenally open and transparent. But on some things, there is really something rotten going on. We're going to talk about that tonight, and I hope you'll join me in talking and discussing and thinking about the real anomalies. And we are back. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. I am your host, Kevin Smith, and we're off the porch and running with the big dogs. I hope you've had a wonderful day today, and I hope it's just been full of all kinds of success and accomplishment, and I hope that you are ready for a real mind-bending discussion on some of the strange anomalies that seem to be occurring in the news media. We know about anomalies and phenomena that are just already out there, and we see them. But I hope you're ready for some of the strange anomalies, a discussion of some of the strange anomalies in the news media. Now, let me tell you that as a part of what we're going to talk about has to do with the weather right here in Phoenix. You've heard me say, if you've been listening to this show for any length of time, you have heard me say that this part of the country is sort of like living in the northern suburbs of hell in the summertime. And it is. I have been here when, summer after summer I've seen this happen, but I have been here when we got up to 120 and beyond. I'm not sure what it was. It was 120 plus. And listen, on that day, I bought a car. And when I test drove the car, the salesman handed me some of those potholder type gloves, you know, so you can take hot things out of the oven. And so he handed me a couple of those so I could handle the steering wheel, because the car had been setting out in that 120 plus temperature, and you had to have them. It was hot. Well, the weather is an interesting thing. It's been, this summer started off really with a bang here. I mean, it started off hot enough that I thought this summer was really going to be a bear. But then it began to get milder. We have come through a part of the summer. In fact, we're still in the final couple of weeks of the part of the summer where usually it does not get down, it does not cool down below 100 degrees Fahrenheit at nighttime. It will get down to 100 degrees, or, well, sometimes maybe 98, 99 degrees at nighttime. And so then when you get up in the morning, the sun's not even up yet. I'm up at 4:30, and it's already 100 degrees. So we're in that time of the year. But something happened this year. Something happened. What happened? Well, just for an example, it was 102 degrees today. That's hot, but it's not unbearable. But last night, the temperature dropped down into the 70s. It got, 75, 76, 78. And it got really mild and nice. And then today it got up to 102. But when, you know, if you have 102 degrees, 105, 110 in the daytime, it's hot. But if it cools down like that at nighttime, you get a little relief from it. And, you know, it doesn't just wear you down. And this summer has been that way. I talked with a guy just a few minutes ago. I talked with a guy that has, he's a native of this area. He's 52 years old. And I asked him, had he seen summers like this? And he said, this is rare. So he didn't say it hasn't happened, but he said this is rare. I'm not a native here. But since I've been here, I have not seen a summer like this. Really strange. Well, what does that have to do with what we're talking about here? Well, I've got a report here in my hand, a news report, about the Arctic sea ice melting. And all the reports, you know, that were coming in early about the Arctic sea ice melting, we're talking about, you know, that this is global warming causing this, and, you know, this is going to be the most massive sea ice melt that has ever occurred, and this is just going to be horrible, and, you know. Well, it has missed the record. There has been a time in the past when the Arctic sea ice melted more than it did this time. And since all those early reports started hitting, you know, about how the Arctic sea ice was going to melt and this was global warming and we've got to do something now, we've reached the tipping point. And since then, here is an interesting thing, a couple of interesting things that have happened. First of all, there were over 2,000 scientists that various types of scientists, some of them have, you know, like doctor's degrees on the construction and structure of the left back leg of a grasshopper. You know, the point is, a lot of these people, they do have a Dr. dot in their name. It's doctor. But they're not doctors of climatology and meteorology. Some were, but not many. Now, it is possible for you to have a doctor's degree in, let's say you have a doctor's degree in mechanical engineering. Now, if you've got that, you're obviously very smart. And if we want to build a gigantic bridge, you're the guy. If we want to build a skyscraper, you're the person. You are the expert, and that's we want to talk to you about that building project. However, if you need a open heart surgery. You need an operation, open-heart surgery. You don't want to talk to a mechanical engineer. You want to talk to a doctor that is a medical doctor and, furthermore, is a medical doctor who specializes in heart surgery. Because the mechanical engineer, smart as he is, knows absolutely zip about heart surgery. And that's kind of the way this climate thing has been. We've got lots of doctors out there who are making lots of pronouncements about climate, and they are not climate scientists. They are not trained in that. It's like a mechanical engineer trying to do heart surgery. Smart? Yes. Apropos to the question at hand, absolutely not. But there were over 2,000 of them that signed this thing put out by the UN. Well, that document, of course, then was the underpinning and basis of the information for a movie called Inconvenient Truth. And many of you have seen it and have just gone blithering, blathering into the nighttime, screaming, "The sky is falling." Now, I have said on this show that I don't doubt that there has been some warming. I think that's demonstrable. But what I do doubt is that what is being touted as the cause of that warming is accurate. The idea that we are causing the global warming by CO2 emissions makes no sense at all. There's global warming happening on every planet in the solar system. And CO2, if that's a greenhouse gas, Why isn't Mars tropical? Because over 90% of its atmosphere is CO2. Get the point? Well, this thing about the sea ice. After that document came out, signed by some 2,000 eminent scientists, another document came out challenging that, and that document was signed by over 31,000 scientists with over 9,000 PhDs in the group. So they had more doctorate degrees in this group than the entire other group. In other words, the whole other group that said it's global warming and the sky is falling. That was about 2,500, something like that, total. Well, in the group that said that is bunk, there is no evidence for that. In that group, they had more doctors in that group, more PhDs, than the whole other group combined. And tons and tons and tons of climatologists in it. So that's an event that has happened and hasn't been covered much. You haven't heard much about that at all in the major media, have you? The major media really played up an inconvenient truth. And they really played up that document that came out of the UN. That was the cat's meow. However, you haven't heard anything, or if you have, it hasn't been much, about 31,000 plus scientists signing a report, a document, showing where that first document was flawed and in error in their models, in their data, and in their experimentation. And where over 31,000 scientists said, we're not heading for global warming. And in fact, the global warming stopped and leveled out in the late 90s. I think it was 1996, which would make it mid to late 90s. It leveled out. We haven't been getting warmer since then. And we have now begun a slight cool down. The weather patterns, according to those who study these things, the weather patterns around the world seem to be the type of weather patterns that are precursors to entry into an ice age. That's what they're saying. There have been several scientists. That's the second thing that's happened since all this started about the Arctic ice. Well, there are several scientists now around the world who are saying, you know what? We think we're headed into an ice age. So it's gotten kind of interesting. It's gotten kind of hairy. But the anomaly is that the media isn't bringing this to you. The media isn't telling you that there's global warming on every planet. The media isn't telling you that the global warming that everyone feared actually leveled out, quit rising in the 90s. And they're not telling you that they got it wrong. They're not telling you that. And one must wonder, what is the agenda? I think the agenda is pretty clear, actually. But that's a huge anomaly. An anomaly, we'll call it a truth gap. They will give you information that fits their worldview, but they will not give you information that defies and nullifies their worldview. That's not the only anomaly. Now, that's one. We're going to talk about a couple of more anomalies and how the press, the major media, are not getting it. There are exceptions. There are exceptions, and I want to be very clear about this. There are exceptions to this bubble in which there is a vacuum of truth. There are some major media outlets out there that are beginning to tell us the truth about some of these anomalies that we observe. But most of the major media is still creating their own anomalies, these big voids and vacuums where there is no truth. As long as the information comports with what they want you, with their agenda and what they want you to think, they'll give it to you. They'll give you in detail the information. But if that information is shown later to be erroneous, they don't report that. They don't retract their statements. They don't fix the problem. They just leave it where it is, walk off and leave it, and let it die all on its own. They create stories. You know, one of the anomalies, one of the phenomena that was big news here just a couple of years ago, and to me, I think it's still big news, is the defense ministry in Mexico released a videotape that was shot, that was taken by the infrared cameras aboard one of their aircraft. Now, the objects outside the aircraft, the UFOs, could be seen very clearly on this videotape, and they very clearly stated that this was from infrared. They could not be seen, these objects could not be seen with the naked eye, but they could be seen with the infrared camera. And I said, as soon as that was released, I said on the very first night after that information was released and that videotape was released, I said, watch the media. They're going to call in experts and start trying to spin this away from it being UFOs. And indeed they did. Within 24 hours, you had news media. You can go on YouTube and still find news reports about that from the United States of America where the news media says they were fast-moving lights that the Mexican aircraft crew saw. Now, why does that matter? Well, it matters, first of all, because it's not true. It's just simply not true. They say that the Mexican air crew saw fast-moving lights, which they think were UFOs. They did not see anything. And why is that important? Well, because, you see, first they define it as fast-moving lights, and then they put the experts out there saying, well, perhaps they saw fragmenting meteors falling. And so the public says, oh, okay, well, they saw lights in the sky, and, yeah, fast-moving lights could be fragmenting meteors. So they built in the minds of the public an absolutely false and ridiculous picture that does not comport with the truth at all. We'll be back right after this. Welcome back. We're talking about these anomalies that seem to be occurring in the news media, these bubbles, these vacuums of real truth. And now, I will say this, and this is important for you to catch. If you didn't catch this earlier when I said it, let me say it again. I'm not including every reporter, every journalist, every editor in this. I'm talking about the overall aroma that's coming out of the news media. There are lots of really dedicated journalists and lots of really dedicated reporters and editors that are doing what they can to just state the facts. However, once it gets into the national news media, once it gets into that grist mill, if it doesn't seem to comport with the agenda of the media outlet, then we don't tend to get it. Now, if you doubt what I'm saying, get your passport, leave the United States, stay gone for 1 month, I don't care where you go, outside of the United States, stay gone for 1 month, read the newspapers every day. There are English version newspapers out there for you, and read those every day. Come back after 1 month and just talk with your friends and family about the news that you read. Talk with them about the news stories that you read while you were outside of the United States. And see how many of those news stories they know anything about. See how many of them they have heard anything about. They will have heard only a few of them. It's a very real, very true fact that if you live in the United States, you are being fed pablum and sometimes sawdust as news, and from a lot of the national news media, the major news media. Now, I want to we'll open the phones in just a little bit, but I want to go to another example or two of some anomalies. Some of you have seen this, and some of you have not. Now, this is a photograph. It's a NASA photograph. It comes. It's from several years back, as a matter of fact. It made some flap in the news at the time, and then they walked off and left it, and they never probed NASA about it. What do you think that looks like? Well, those of you who live in Australia would look at that and say that looks like some giant banyan trees. That is just one photograph of areas on Mars where there appears to be vegetation. In fact, there are photographs from Mars, NASA photographs, and European Space Agency photographs, where you look at, it looks like, actually, very, very dense forests. Now, you might say, well, that can't be because Mars is a desert. If you were from some other planet and you landed just north of Phoenix, you came from some other planet and you landed just north of Phoenix, you would say, this is nothing but a desert. Earth is a desert. But we know that along with these desert areas here on Earth, there are some areas that are very definitely forested. If you were to land in the northwest United States, it's very dense forest there. And you might say, well, Earth is a wonderful, lush forest. No, Earth isn't. That part of it is. But I can assure you, right where I'm seated in Phoenix, Arizona, there is no lush forest here. Well, the news media, really, I mean, this made a flap, this story about these trees on Mars made a flap, made a ripple in the waters on the internet, but and it was sparsely reported in major media at the time, and then they walked off and left it. There was no one putting a microphone up in the face of the NASA director, who at that time, I believe, was Mr. Golden. I could be wrong about that, but I think it was Mr. Golden who was the NASA director. There was no one shoving a mic in his face at that time saying, you know, look, we want some answers about that. What are we looking at here? I mean, isn't that life? Aren't we looking at trees here? So there was this huge vacuum in the reporting. And it's that huge vacuum in the reporting that is the anomaly that I'm focused on. The vacuum of truth in the reporting is just phenomenal. It's immense and it's phenomenal. And look, it's not just the stuff about NASA, okay? It is not just, the vacuum does not exist only in the stuff about NASA. But this is a good example. Now, let me go to another photograph. This one also from Mars. And those of you who are calling, the lines are lighting up. I appreciate it. Just hang in there. Keep trying. I will open the telephone lines in just a moment. Now, what you're looking at right here, you've got three photographs in one screen. You have a photograph at the top and two at the bottom. On the bottom, you have those are on Earth. And what you have here on the bottom is a pile of stones on Earth. And here you have another pile of stones on Earth. And those are there as examples to show you what you're looking at in this photograph from Mars. Now, if we had, I can't, but I wish I could, if we could zoom in on that, you'll see it is a pile of stones that looks very much like this pile of stones on the left side of your screen at the bottom. And you can see that that is sort of a rectangular shape. It has a corner there, right here. There's a corner. And there it is on Mars. For some of you, it's the first time you've seen this photograph. For some of you, it's the first time that you've been exposed to this information. And the question that I have is a simple question. Why is this the first time? That pile of stones is pretty obviously artificially placed there. By artificially, I mean nature didn't do it. If I go back to that photograph, let's just go back and take a look at it. This pile of stones sitting on top of this hill, this sand dune, right here, that pile of stones, do you see any other piles of stones around it? Do you see any other piles, or is it a smooth sand dune? Well, we have a line of stones here, but from that line of stones, from there to that structure, there is no pile of stones. There are no stones. It's a smooth sand dune. And so we're very obviously, at least from my point of view, we're looking at something that is artificial. We're not looking at geology. And like I said, if we could zoom in on this pile of stones on the top of that sand dune, you would be able to see that it looks very much like the pile of stones in the pictures below, because it's small stones stacked one on top of the other, just like the ones at the bottom of your screen. So the question is, why have we not heard about this? The question is, where has the media been? Why haven't you seen a reporter with a microphone in the face of the NASA director, or a microphone in the face of the scientists who are working on that project and pressing for answers about that pile of stones? Why is there a vacuum of truth? It is an anomaly. Reporters are supposed to be digging for information and pressing for answers, but they don't. Now, here's another one. If you look at the photograph that's on your screen now, you will see it is a photograph that shows on the left side the natural color. On the right side is the color after NASA gets through processing it before they release it to you in the public. On the right side, we're seeing red, and of course we have seen really deep reds in the past. But we're seeing red, 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 red. It's even there's even a red sky. But whenever Viking lander landed, it sent back photographs that looked like the left side of your screen with a blue sky. And the ground doesn't really look all that red, does it? It looks like the sand in the desert out here in the West, out here in the Western United States. That's what that looks like. But on the right, you see the colors after NASA gets through processing them. Well, it happened again. It happened again when the Spirit and Opportunity rovers landed on Mars and the pictures started coming back. And the scientists were sitting there in front of the press and the pictures were coming back and being put on the screen behind them. And what was being put on that screen behind them was a blue sky and sort of sandy red, not really red, soil. There was not much made of that in the press. There were a few comments about the pictures and about the blue sky. There were a few comments about it. But where was the press putting the microphone in someone's face at NASA saying, why have you guys been giving us all these photographs that are so red? Why have you guys been colorizing them? Have you been tampering with the color? Why have you been tampering with the color? Why have you been falsifying the evidence? If this were a court of law, that would be falsifying evidence. We'll be back right after this. All right, we are back. It's the Kevin Smith Show, and I am Kevin Smith, your host, and I'm talking about some of these anomalies that are popping up, have been. My entire life they've been popping up in the major news media. There is an article that, I just, before the break, I was talking about the tampering with the evidence. There's an article written by an attorney. Let me tell you about this attorney. His name is Franklin D. Fields, Jr. He served as a U.S. Army officer, and he's a graduate of the Army's Command and General Staff College. He was awarded the Bronze Star Medal while an Army unit commander in Iraq. And his civilian education includes a Juris Doctorate degree from the University of Florida. Mr. Fields is currently working as an attorney and lives in Florida. Now, he's written an excellent article here called A Few Good Men Preserving UFO Secrecy. And he alludes to the movie, I'm sure you'll remember it, from 1992, called A Few Good Men. And it had really a fantastic cast. And one of my favorite actors, Jack Nicholson. I mean, you just can't beat Jack, you know? But anyway, he says, in the now famous courtroom scene, Colonel Jessup, that was the character played by Jack Nicholson. Colonel Jessup lashes out at Lieutenant Caffey and blasts him with, "You can't handle the truth." Remember that? Great scene. Well, Jessup was referring to government secrets and illegal action taken while, quote, protecting freedom. I'm not going to read the entire article to you, but I am going to read a couple of lines here. Listen to this. He says that the people, assuming the most favorable justification for secrecy, one comes to the conclusion that realizing the information on UFOs would somehow affect America in a negative way. These beliefs, presumably, are good reason for those sworn to protect our country to continue the secrecy. They live in Colonel Jessup's world. When commands are given, orders are followed, or people die, quoting from the movie. And words like honor, code, and loyalty are the backbone of a life spent defending freedom. Proud words, but for the flagrant trespasses over that line between the legal and illegal. Our Constitution is the bedrock beneath our society and the basis for all our laws. Disrespect for the Constitution is creating a crisis of legitimacy and threatens freedom, civil rights, and the rule of law. Legal lines are drawn for a reason. Those maintaining secrecy should remember their oath to, quote, support and defend the Constitution, end quote. There's a big debate about whether full disclosure would create havoc. I maintain that it would. But I also maintain that that's like saying childbirth is going to create a lot of pain. Yeah, it is, but it's got to happen. And I think that full disclosure is going to create a lot of havoc. But it has to happen. Sooner or later, it has to happen. And I understand, and people a lot of times don't understand what I say on this subject. I understand the reasoning behind this bent towards secrecy. I understand the reasoning. That doesn't mean I agree with it. It means I understand it. There are certain parts of UFO disclosure that may need to be kept secret because of technological issues and national security issues, and I fully understand that. And if that's the case, I support that. But telling me that all of it has to be kept secret is a little bit beyond the pale. Some of it does not have to be kept secret and could be released to the public. And the idea that it's going to create havoc, I think, is pretty certain. It will in ways that you can't imagine. I'm not talking about people just going ape and going crazy and jumping out of windows and committing suicide. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about chaos in the markets. Like you're seeing just the baby, just the infant of that right now in the markets here in the United States. That is a drop in the bucket to what will happen once there is full disclosure if it happens suddenly. Because it will absolutely wreck the entire global economy if it happens suddenly. It has to be done gradually. However, having said that, I have to say it has to be done. And I don't understand why there seems to be this firm dedication by some people to really keep the lid on all of this, when the population has already outrun the spin doctors. You guys that write the spin stories have got to know that the population out here, we're not stupid. I mean, okay, maybe we're not the brightest. When you take all of us together, maybe we're not the brightest. Maybe we're not the sharpest tools in the box. You know, we're just average Joes out here. And that's all right. I'm glad to be one. But I got to tell you something about average Joes. They pay your salary. Average Joes are the people who employ you. And at least, I mean, if you've got to keep secrets, at least don't treat the average Joes like they're stupid. Don't tell us that it's swamp gas when we know it's not. Don't tell us that it's Chinese wedding candles when we know it's not. Don't tell us it's military flares when we know for sure it is not. The public has outrun the spin doctors already. They're way past you guys that are doing the spinning. Now, if you're going to continue to spin, I will say again, get you some better script writers that will say something that is at least somewhat nearly plausible. Telling us it's a traffic flare attached to a helium balloon with fishing line. Give me a freaking break. That is the kind of anomaly I'm talking about. The anomaly of a vacuum of truth. That doesn't even recognize that people have brains. So, you know, if you're going to use spin, if you're going to use cover stories, at least get better script writers. Get script writers that will write something that is somehow kind of remotely feasible. The stuff that we've been fed is just, that's why the public ran past you guys. And the idea that, you know, if you disclose that UFOs are real and that aliens are real, that it's just going to cause panic in the streets, it's not going to cause panic in the streets. It may cause panic in the markets, but it's not going to cause panic in the streets. The public already ran past you on this issue. They already know more than you want to admit they know. And, I think it's time just to get on with it and just disclose. However, I admit I don't know what's in those secret files. I admit that I'm not sure why these things have been classified. And it's just possible that there's something in those files that is truly horrific, and that's what you're protecting us from. But as you do that, remember, as Attorney Fields wrote, and of course he was an Army officer, decorated, served honorably and bravely, and is an attorney. And remember what he says here about the people who are maintaining the secrecy. He says those maintaining secrecy should remember their oath to, quote, support and defend the Constitution. Now, I'll just say this, and because we're out of time, the Constitution is the United States of America. There's not anything else that is the United States of America. You have to understand that. If you are an American citizen, you are a citizen of a country that exists because of and based on that Constitution. And when you do away with the Constitution, by any means, just by actions that are unconstitutional, when you do that, you destroy America. It's in the upholding of the Constitution that you build America. We'll be back after this, and I'll open the telephone lines for those of you who want to rant at me for ranting at you. We'll be back. All right, we are back. I have been making the case here, at least I hope I have, that there is an anomaly. Now, we talk about anomalies on Mars. We talk about anomalies on the moon. We talk about anomalies on Earth. We talk about strange and unexplained things. But the anomaly that I hope that I have successfully pointed out to you, that we don't talk about, I do mention it sometimes, but we don't really deal with it a lot, is this anomalous bubble that we seem to live in because of a vacuum of truth in major media reporting about certain things. Sometimes it's about major things. Sometimes it's about entirely earthbound major things that they just don't tell you about, and you need to know about them. And so the anomaly that I've been pointing out, I've used some examples here of anomalous reporting. I've used some examples of anomalies that we see, that we know we can see it with our eyes, and we know that, for instance, that stack of stones on Mars doesn't appear that nature stacked it up. The colors, we know that for sure that NASA's been playing with the colors. I use those as examples. Those are anomalies that someone in the press should have pressed NASA on to get some answers, and they haven't done it. And that is anomalous. That is anomalous. Now, I know that we have a number of reporters, journalists, that listen to this show. And it's just possible, I know that we have quite a number of folks down at NASA that listen to this show, and you understand, I'm sure, that I don't paint NASA with a wide brush. I'm talking about specific incidents, specific things where we have been fed a load of hogwash. But if you're a reporter, if you're a journalist, I'd like to hear from you, as well as just from anybody and everybody in the audience, if you have a comment about what we're talking about here. If you've got a comment about this anomaly in the media, this anomaly in the reporting. I say often, and this is almost, I say it tongue-in-cheek, but it's almost true, that when I see something or hear something on major media, I divide it by 10, and that gets me down somewhere near a kernel of truth. Now, that's just almost the truth. It's almost that bad. What's the deal with this? What do you think about this? Maybe you think I'm wrong. Maybe you think that our major media are serving us well and that they are, in fact, telling us the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. Maybe that's what you think. And you're certainly free to call in and express that. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling? Hello, caller. Well, apparently the caller has left us. All right. Yeah, it shows that the call was on, but apparently we could not pick them up. Give us a call. The telephone number is 623-237-3814, 623-237-3814. And as I said, maybe you think that I'm all wet on this. Maybe it is your opinion that, in fact, we are being served well. Or maybe you think we're not being served well. Either way, we want to hear from you. Caller, you are live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling? Hello, caller.
From Albuquerque.
Ah, Charles in Albuquerque. What's on your mind?
Oh, I was listening to the article that you read about the Constitution, Mr. Field.
Yes.
Mr. Field, was it?
Uh-huh. Yeah, that's right.
That's interesting. But I'm curious, just what is the constitutional provision that you or Mr. Field think that these people are breaking?
I'm not saying they are. I'm saying they have to be, in whatever it is that they are doing, they have to be able to justify constitutionally what they're doing. If they can, that's fine. As I said, sometimes you need a spin. Sometimes you need a cover story. And that's fine. If you really need one, go for it. And by the way, Charles, you've heard me say on this show, when I've had callers that have gotten really torqued and said, yeah, but our government's lying to us. And you've heard me say, of course they are. That's what you hired them to do. And that, you know, I say that sort of tongue-in-cheek, but you know what I'm talking about. Whenever we created these various intelligence services, we gave them authorization to do certain things, and then we gave them very stern orders about keeping it secret and what was to be kept secret, and what would happen to them if they talked about these secrets, if they leaked them. And they're very, very stern provisions for penalties if they talk. So if something happens that falls into their basket of secrets, and then you ask a direct question about that event, are they going to lie to you? Yes, they are. And that's what you have paid them to do. And if they don't, then they're going to have some very stern, stiff penalties applied to them. Am I wrong?
They have to lie.
Of course they do. Of course they do. But if what they, and this gets into the hypothetical, if what they are doing can't be justified constitutionally before their oversight committees, then they absolutely must not do it. If it can't be justified constitutionally, if it can be shown that, that whatever it is they're doing is unconstitutional, they've got to give it up.
Ah, it seems so easy. Gee, if it's unconstitutional, stop doing it. But
yeah, it's not easy to do, but it has to happen.
If it were only that easy to decide what's constitutional and what's not.
Yeah, that's why we have those geniuses in robes at the Supreme Court. But you know, the thing is that let's say that here would be a very clear-cut constitutional issue. Apparently, based on evidence that has been brought up on this show, and I'm talking about documentary evidence that has come out as a result of the Freedom of Information Act. Apparently, the legal justification for the secrecy on anything having to do with UFOs comes from an executive order that was signed by Harry Truman. Now, I have suggested, and I think this is true, that the only cure for that then would be an executive order lifting that cover of legality for the secrecy. In other words, ordering them to disclose. So if you had an executive order from a president that says, okay, we're not going to keep it secret anymore, we're going to disclose it, and then you had a unit somewhere in the process that says, heck no, we're not disclosing nothing, then they are in violation of an order from their commander-in-chief, and that is not only a military problem, but that would be a constitutional problem. There, because the Constitution gives the president the right to make that order. You follow what I'm saying?
I do.
And so then you would have a constitutional issue, I believe. In addition, you would have issues with the Code of Military Conduct.
Well, and you could think of a civilian example. There have been alleged instances where people have been snuffed out in order to keep them from talking by the authorities, you know, and if that were to happen, of course, that would be unconstitutional, deprivation of their life without due process.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, you would, in addition to having some very severe criminal penalties attached, you would also have that constitutional issue.
However, we do have, I think, a doctrine out there somewhere where, say, if you're a spy and you're operating in this country and they catch you, maybe they can snuff you out rather than put you on trial if they think that's the thing to do.
Now, you know, I'm not aware of that. Maybe that's the
secret.
I'm sorry?
I'm not either, but I think it would be a secret.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Yeah, and, you know, has that ever happened? Well, I think there's the possibility. I will tell you this. You know, I've served with both military and with police officers from many different countries in these various places where I've served around the world. And I'm not going to name the country because I don't want to start something here. But I had some guys from a country that said, you know, we have a real problem with terrorism. And when we catch a terrorist, we don't understand why you people want to put them on trial. We catch a terrorist, we take them out in the desert, and they don't come back. And so does something like that exist if we catch a spy? Maybe. I don't know.
Maybe. Who knows?
Yeah. Now, would you say that would be unconstitutional?
That would be a very gray area. It would seem to be, mm-hmm. but we don't know, perhaps, the risks that are being taken if the person is not terminated to other citizens of the country. It could be that if the orders are not followed, other people will die, as the saying goes.
Yeah, and, you know, like I said, I think it's the stuff that would make a great novel. And it might be something that has actually happened, but I don't know. But, yeah, but I see, I think this thing with the Constitution lies at the bottom of it all. I really do. I think that's the most important issue in considering disclosure issues. If unconstitutional things are done to keep a secret, that has to be exposed. If it is unconstitutional to keep a secret, that has to be examined and adjudicated. But, you know, whatever we do, whether we go with disclosure or we go with closure, keeping it secret, either way, I think it's important that we don't do something that is a violation of the Constitution, because once you do that and you get away with it for even just a little while, you've pretty much nullified the Constitution at that point.
Well, I'm not aware of any actual stated right to know in the Constitution, although there is there are statutes about open government and so forth. But they don't apply, of course, to official government secrets. So I think it's perfectly legal to keep secrets and constitutional. But I do think that there has been quite a bit of disclosure. I mean, you and I know that they're out there, and I think anybody who is really interested in finding out can find that out.
Well, what do you think about my statement when I was talking with those who keep the secrets, where I said, come on, guys, you know, if we understand if you got to use a cover story, just get better script writers. Because the public has run past all this spin and all these ridiculous nonsense stories that have been put out.
Well, I think some of them have and some of them haven't. It seems to me that they don't work on people like you or me because, we know the truth, but there are people out there who I don't think really want to know the truth, like my mother, and
and my mom too.
If the explanation works for her, then that's fine, you know.
Yeah, I think it's important for us, you know, to realize that the UFO community, if we want to call it that, is rarefied air. I mean, the people that are interested in UFOs have read a lot, and they've watched a lot of videos, they've listened to lots and lots of testimonies and witness stories, and I think sometimes we think we are like the majority, and when maybe we're not.
I think that's right.
Yeah. Charles, thanks for the call, man. I'm going to have to move along to another call, but it's always a pleasure talking with you.
All right. Good evening.
All right. Thanks for the call. All right, folks. The telephone number is 623-237-3814. Let me ask the caller who is on hold to stay with me for just a moment. And if you have a comment or you have a question about what we're talking about here, give us a call. What Charles said is true in that it might be a little difficult to prove that some of the secrecy here or that any of the secrecy is unconstitutional. Look, once you get into court, anyone who's had any dealings at all with the law, you know that once you get into court, it becomes very, very strange. And things that you think are very real may not, in fact, be very real once that court gets hold of it. What about this thing with the media? I mean, they're supposed to be in the business of informing us. What's the deal here? Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hello, Kevin. It's Kevin in North Carolina.
Hi, Kevin.
They're not in the business of informing us, Kevin. After all, ABC News is owned by Disney. They're in the business of entertaining us.
Are you saying that our news is Mickey Mouse?
I reckon I am.
Well, look, we laugh about it. But in fairness, even ABC, CBS, NBC, all of the alphabet media.
Yeah.
And Fox. They have some really good reporters. But I have met some of them, and I have seen cases where they wrote a great story that was very factual, but by the time it finally got published or broadcast, it had been through the grinder, and it didn't resemble the reality of what actually happened. I've seen that happen.
The media, to me, is a case of the emperor's new clothes, because I was in the media for a while. In the early 80s, I worked in broadcast radio, and I was a radio newsman as part of my duties. And I used to phone in stories all the time to the state radio network. And I can just tell you from being in it, the bottom line is all those people in the media are subtly controlled through their own version of the psychological program. Most people in the media, and I'm not going to speak about all of them, but at the lower levels anyway, they're always looking for the next thing, what's popular, what's current, what's going to get them attention, but yet they have opinions, and our opinions come out in our reporting, but yet they're the largest group that pretends they're above having an opinion.
Mm-hmm.
And the majority of these people don't believe in UFOs, and so therefore it never gets past that. So as long as they have a few gatekeepers at the top of the pyramids that basically make sure anything like that gets nixed, like the lady writing the newspaper stories in Stephenville, Texas. She was asked to go because she was an embarrassment to the paper. This had gone on long enough. You need to get back to reporting the school board meetings and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
Because they, you know, every newspaper in the United States is owned by one of the main conglomerates now. There are no more independent-run papers. And half of them print the same pablum. Just like it is in radio, you can hear the same disc jockey in 50 markets because he's piped over satellite out of Denver. That's not done to control us. That's done because it's cheaper and easier.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so in other words, is there a conspiracy about keeping it all out of the media? Yes, but it's at the very highest levels. Most people that are involved have no clue. That's my opinion.
What is the answer to the dilemma that I pose? For instance, you've got that stack of rocks on Mars. I don't know if you saw that when I put it on the screen. You've got that stack of rocks up there. Why isn't there a reporter with a microphone shoved up in a scientist's face at NASA saying, explain that?
Well, I'm going to approach that by saying that I'm going to answer that by answering another thing, and that is, why do all these people in government, how do they justify what they're doing, not keeping it all, you know, keeping the truth from us? Is that in their minds, I think, they need to keep the populace happy and complacent. To do otherwise is to cause problems for the economy, and to cause problems for the economy, well, that's against our national interests. I mean, they told us why they're doing it tongue-in-cheek. Tommy Lee Jones in the Men in Black movie. We're too stupid. We need to be fat and happy. We don't need to know the truth. They'll take care of it for us. That's what they. That's what I.
Well, you know, there is a part of our population that fits that description. There's no doubt.
But it's not you and I. To answer your question earlier, are we being served? You and I aren't, but the vast masses are. I was sitting in the lobby of a building waiting on someone the other day, reading a book, and it was a science fiction book, and somehow the UFO thing came up.
Can you hang on through this break?
Sure.
All right, we have to take a break. I want to hear this story. Folks, we'll be back right after this. Don't go away. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. I'm Kevin Smith, your host, and we're talking with Kevin from, I think you said North Carolina, right?
That's correct.
All right. All right. You were saying that you were about to tell me a story about you were in, I think you said, in a bookstore?
No, I was waiting in the lobby of a college building. My girl was taking a class. I drive her up and wait on her.
All right.
And he was waiting on his son as well, and we were both reading books, and you know, chit-chat across the lobby there, and I was reading science fiction, and the last time I'd been reading a UFO book, and I forget the entire conversation, but the gist was, I got to the question of, so, do you believe in UFOs? And I got the, nah, and you know, that look, you know the look.
Mm-hmm.
And when I'm confronted with that look, and that, you know, where they're waiting to see what you're going to say next, whether they need to scoot down to the other end of the couch away from you, crazy man. I'm not confrontational with them. I like to drop one or two little things in. And I said something like, you know, I don't know what to think either, but, you know, I like to read a lot of science fiction. I find it interesting, all that stuff. I said, I just think it's pretty arrogant to believe that we're the only life out of all the planets and stars out there and all the galaxies, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And this whole thing about they couldn't come here, you know, I think they'd invent a new form of travel, just like guys in ships would never believe you could have crossed the ocean in 6 hours, so they invented the airplane.
That's right.
It's kind of, he gave it that pause and that look like that made sense, but I don't want to believe it. And then it's back over the face and they go back to the book.
Yeah.
Those are the people being served by the media. They're being told
That's true. Mental pablum is what they need. Well, that's not what they need, but I mean, that's what they're comfortable with. And so that's what the media is giving them.
Now, on the flip side, mm-hmm. I wanted to report on the ABC news show last night on UFOs. Did you even know it was on?
Yeah, it was on during my show, so I couldn't watch it.
Well, I'm on the East Coast, so it was on before your show. Or at least, plus I can record it and come back and catch it again. It was kind of a continuation of Peter Jennings' report from a few years ago. I was very unhappy with Peter Jennings' report. I thought it was a lot of poo-poo.
Yeah.
But this time, and by that I mean, you know, putting things down.
Mm-hmm.
This time it built on that to some degree. It repeated a little bit of it, like they had the same interview with Art Bell and, you know, different bits and pieces. I thought it was a much fairer report. It was John Muir, I believe is his name. Except when they got to, they talked about Roswell, and they had one guy on that basically says, the government's report, it was weather balloon, you know, the, mogul balloons.
Mm-hmm.
They looked at it, it made sense, and I buy it. And he sounded convincing because they limited the evidence to that part of it.
Yeah.
And then they went on to basically interview psychologists that think abductions are sleep disorders, and they never gave the other side of that. However, in the beginning, they came right out and said in the early days of flying saucers after Kenneth Arnold, the military report said they're spacecraft from other worlds, but General Vandenberg wouldn't accept it. I mean, they didn't say that's what we heard. They said that's what happened. I was a little stunned by that. So what I took it to be is we're a couple years later in the gradual disinformation program. It's like I could see it through the program. We'll admit this, we'll admit this, we'll admit this, but we're not ready to admit that, and we're not ready to admit that.
Mm-hmm.
But it definitely was better than Peter Jennings. More a little more disclosure, but, you know, I think it's true what you've been saying all along. They're gradually taking us to disclosure at their pace.
I think they are. I personally disagree with the pace. But having said that, I personally disagree with that pace. I think they could just make an announcement, actually, on some of it, not all of it, but on some of it they could. But even though I disagree with the pace, I think that they are disclosing little by little. And really, if you look at what's actually been said instead of the way it's been spun, a great deal has been disclosed. One of the things, I'll say this, and then I've got to move to the next caller, but one of the things, Kevin, that always astounds me is even in the UFO community, people really put down Project Blue Book, and they say it was a whitewash. If you back off and look at what Project Blue Book actually said, it confirmed, it's an official confirmation from the U.S. government that UFOs exist. Because it said we could explain all these away, and we could explain all those away, and all these over here we could explain. But see this small percentage right here? We couldn't explain these. That is an official admission that there are unidentified flying objects.
And it's where they were in the process then. And you said you disagree with the pace?
Yeah, I do.
What I say is I disagree with the end point. I disagree with the conclusion that they're taking the public to. I don't think they're wanting to lead the public to truthful disclosure. They want everybody to end up with a certain opinion on that they want us to have. That's what I disagree with.
Well, what do you think that opinion would be, Kevin?
One very centric to the desires of the politico banking cartel, whatever you want to call it. They want us to all be nice little control puppies and afraid of the aliens out there.
I'll have to give that some thought. I don't know what I think about that.
I think,
but any material that you have that supports that view, send me the links to it. I'd like to read it.
I'd have to write you something. I mean, that's my conglomerated opinion. I just think that I think some people within the process, they want us to know the truth, but I think it's, I think that the large people that are pulling the biggest strings, they want us to all have a certain conclusion when the whole thing is done. That's what I think.
That could be true.
Okay, thanks, Kevin.
Thanks for the call, man. I appreciate it. All right, folks, the telephone number is 623-237-3814, 623-237-3814. If you have a comment or if you have a question, let's get in this and mix it up. Let's see what we can come up with. And maybe we can come up with a consensus. Maybe we cannot. Maybe you think I'm right on target, and maybe you think I'm all wet. Doesn't matter. Your views are welcome here, all right? 623-237-3814. I think Charles really posed an excellent question a few callers back, and I think it's something that we really need to think about. A lot of times we think that something is unconstitutional because it goes against what we think is right. Now, you have to understand that the concept of right and wrong are moral concepts. It is a moral concept. The concept of what is right, what is wrong, that's moral. When you start talking about what is constitutional, you're talking about whether it's legal or illegal. Okay, we're talking about legal concepts then. A thing is said to be constitutional if it falls within the parameters that are outlined on a specific point of law in the Constitution. But then that has to be interpreted as well. You know, a good example of this was this recent ruling by the Supreme Court that said that the gun law in Washington, D.C. that just outlawed handguns was unconstitutional. It was a blanket law that just said you can't have handguns. Now, the debate on that, I don't want to get into that. That's not what this show is about. I'm using it for an example. Okay, so let's don't get into that debate and revisit that debate. But on one side, you had people who said, well, the Constitution does not guarantee the rights of individuals to own firearms, but it guarantees the right of militias, a militia under the construct and under the command of a governor or the president. They can have firearms. On the other side were people who said no. The wording of the Constitution makes it clear that individuals have a right to keep and to bear arms. And so that was the debate. That went before the Supreme Court, and the Supreme Court ruled that the wording of the Constitution makes it clear that individuals have the right to keep and bear arms. And therefore, a law that just makes it blanket, that says you cannot have handguns in Washington, D.C. It's illegal, you can't have them. That law is unconstitutional. All right, so when we talk about something being constitutional, we're not talking about whether it's right or wrong. We're talking about whether it's legal or illegal under the Constitution. And so when we talk about disclosure and we talk about this whole thing about are they being constitutional when they keep it secret? Are they unconstitutional when they keep it secret? There are people who say it is unconstitutional, but if you say that, you need to point to the provisions of the Constitution that you're referring to. There are other people who say that the secrecy over UFOs is simply not addressed in any part of the Constitution. We obviously know UFOs are not addressed, but the secrecy is not addressed in any part of the Constitution, some people say. And so we've got that debate, and perhaps it will end up in a Supreme Court case at some point in the future. I doubt it, but it may. When we talk about whether it's constitutional or unconstitutional, we're not talking about whether it's right or wrong. And I think a lot of times, lots of times, we think something is unconstitutional because there's something in us that says it's just not right for people who are working for us to hide all this from us. Okay? But that doesn't mean, just because we think it's wrong, that doesn't mean it's unconstitutional. So I think this is an area where we really, really can have some lively debate. And I think the country needs to have some lively debate at that level on this issue. All right, we're going to take a break. We'll be back right after this break. And when we come back, I'll take some more of your calls at 623-237-3814. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. I'm Kevin Smith, your host, and let's go straight to the telephone line Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hi, Kevin. This is Kevin from Northern Alberta calling.
Okay, another Kevin this evening.
Yeah, it seems to be a popular name.
That's right. We've got them surrounded, bud.
Well, there you go. Well, maybe we can make a stand and get some truth out of the government. No, just joking. The reason I'm calling in is you talked about our reality here in our world as it is right now.
Okay.
Now, if the government was going to go and disclose the fact that we're being visited by extraterrestrials, I think they'd have to pretty much go back and rewrite the history books, because we know from, you know, from Genesis and so on right up through that, you know, that we've been lied to about many things.
Well, actually, Genesis, I think, tells us the truth.
Well, it does, but not so much in the Christian sense.
Well, the religionists, theologians, have gotten hold of that and made it their baby, and they've rocked it. And lots and lots and lots and millions and billions of people have bought what those theologians have said. But the story that Genesis tells, if you just take the words, you know, words have definitions, and you just read the words that are there, it tells you a story that is vastly different from what the churches teach.
Agreed. Agreed. Religion versus reality again.
Yeah.
By the way, I watched your first part of Gods in the Garden. I really enjoyed that. Was there a second part to that movie?
Six parts.
Oh, six parts. Oh,
six parts. But that was a little miniature seminar that I did when I was in East Timor. And I was getting ready to write the book, Gods in the Garden. And I took all the material that I was going to condense into the book, and I wanted one last shot at airing it out and having people ask me questions about it before I wrote it. And I just set up a video camera and went for it. And as you can tell, I'm in rather sparse surroundings there, but highly luxurious surroundings if you're out in the jungle, which I was.
Great.
The problem is that all of the those are actually videotapes. They were done on 8mm videotape, and all of them were damaged except that one. And damaged.
What a shame!
Yeah, when I moved back from East Timor back here to the United States, I don't know how they became unusable, but they did, that's the only one I was able to salvage.
Is there a chance that you'd consider doing another seminar on that? That should be out there for everybody to see. The reason I say that is I'm not a big fan of reading.
Uh-huh.
I sure like to listen, and I like to learn by that method.
Yeah, I've had several requests for that. Sometime after the first of the year, I'm going to do a seminar. We'll videotape it and get it processed where we can put it up online like that.
Sure. I bet you those would sell like hotcakes, just my opinion. But
I think they probably will, because in the seminar, there are lots of things that you can make visual that you can't do in a book, even if you use illustrations in a book. There are in the seminar, you know, you can actually project video clips that illustrate what you're talking about, and so forth. And so, yeah, it's a hotter format than printed words.
Well, I certainly hope to see that within the new year, then, Kevin. And this has been a great program tonight. And I don't know. Personally, I'd say disclosure's already been made, but the government, of course, isn't going to fess up to it if it's against their best interest not to anyways.
Yeah, you know, I think if people expect that there's going to be a press conference where a president is going to stand in front of the press and say, we're going to disclose to you information now about UFOs. That's never going to happen. But if you look at what's happening without that announcement, it looks like disclosure is taking place at a very slow pace, but it looks like it is taking place.
Some people say there's going to be a lot more paranormal activity before 2012, so maybe this is just a stepping stone along the way.
Yeah, and you know, I think there will be a lot more paranormal activity. And I'm not sure if it's because we're passing through the galactic medium or because we are increasing the high level of experimentation that we're doing. For instance, in that Large Hadron Collider.
Right, right.
They are seeing around the outskirts of that collider an increase in the number of UFOs being, an increase in the number being reported. People are seeing these orange balls of light in the sky, and they're wondering, I've got an article here somewhere, actually in this pile, where they're wondering, is it because of the LHC, the Large Hadron Collider?
Sure. Very exciting time to be alive, I must say.
It's certainly an interesting time. Kevin, thanks for the call, man.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
All right. Bye-bye. All right, folks. I was about to say we'll take your calls, but I'm looking at the clock on the computer and see that we're just about out of time. I hope that this evening we've at least helped you to think about this vacuum of information that you may not even be aware exists, this anomaly. You know, they pointed the Hubble Space Telescope and some. They pointed also some radio telescopes at a certain area of our universe and discovered there's nothing there. I mean, there are no stars, no planets, no galaxies, not even any dark matter. And that's an anomaly. Well, that's also a picture of the news reporting on these anomalous phenomena that we talk about on this show. It's like a great void in the sky when you start looking for serious media reporting on it. And, you know, you got to ask yourself the question that the astronomers ask about that void in space. Why? Why is there a void of good, solid reporting on the anomalous? My friends call me Steel Eye. My enemies do too. And you can call me whatever you'd like to call me. Just keep coming back again and again and again. Until tomorrow, so long, everybody.